6. Ephesians chapter 6. Sure did. Very good. All right. I especially like the young children as they learn to play instruments and sing. It's got to be taught. It's all taught. It doesn't happen overnight. And it takes some discipline and it takes some patience. And we're going to be dealing with some of that tonight. Take some respect and honor. But I'm thankful for those that work with them and take the time out to get lessons and to learn. I appreciate that. Ephesians chapter 6, I want to continue in our series dealing with a house divided cannot stand. A house divided cannot stand, and we'll be there'll be a number of places where we will be in Scripture dealing with the principle or the thought. And the thought tonight deals with respect. And the statement, respect is taught in a godly home. And I've been capturing the godly home phrase. And we looked at it last Sunday night. Tonight we're going to look at something that should be in a godly home. Respect is one of those things that in my home as I grew up, and probably in the home that you grew up in, there was respect that was there. And is either taught, sometimes maybe taught in a rough way, a crude way, maybe taught in a way wasn't maybe really got this point across. Hopefully didn't have a bad taste in your mouth. Sometimes a poor parent can send or leave a bad taste in a child's memory or life through most of their life. You generally can pick that up as they talk about their past, talk about what they went through, their experiences. And so for parents, it's important that we get this right. There's a number of things that we should have right. And the Word of God allows us or helps us or teaches you and I how to teach or instruct respect. And we're going to look at that tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, notice with me in verse 1 as we begin reading. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And it goes on in verse 2, "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise." Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening. I ask, Father, that you would be with me, be with the words and the thoughts. And I pray that through your scripture, we would learn these truths that we need as parents, as grandparents, and Father, maybe even as children, to learn that this principle, these precepts are in your word. And Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us and to instruct us. And Father, as we would grow in our Christian life and our relationship with you, not just with you, but Father, maybe with our spouse and with our children, and Father, in our homes, I pray that this point would be brought to bear tonight, and we would learn from this. Be with those that are watching and listening. I pray that you would give them a blessing and suit their needs, suit the prayer requests that have been mentioned. And Father, we ask this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to start by saying, you know, in thinking about this, has it ever seemed to you that the basic respect has evaporated from our society of today? Narcissism and sarcasm and disregard for authority have become normalized in our culture. I call it the American culture, the Western culture, and it is true. And so adults believe that having children today is a waste and that parenting is a burden. Parenthood is viewed with less respect today than it ever has since our past. It seems like years gone by that it was a blessing when you heard that somebody's having a child or they're having another child. Today, what you get is like, you're having another kid? Why would you do that? And you get this non-Christian, non-godly view, even from Christians. And it's sad. That's just our culture. And it's crept into our homes and even into our churches. And it has to deal with respect. The Bible words used most commonly for this, for respect, is honor. It uses the word honor, and that's what it basically means. Honor is a thread that runs throughout Scripture, and it is connected or commanded in society. It's commanded in the church and in the home. And let me say this: if you don't have respect in a home, you're going to have, you got a mess on your hands. And if you don't have respect in the house of God, you're going to have a mess on your hands. And if you don't have respect that's taught and administered in a society, you're going to have chaos in society. Just turn on the news or read the newspaper and you'll pick that up readily. And you say, what's going on? There's no respect that is taught. Number one, respect for God. Number two, respect for parents. And number three, respect for your society and other people. But the Bible has a lot to say about this, and we're going to look at it. We landed in Ephesians chapter 6. I'm just going to say that's the jumping off point tonight, dealing with children and what the Bible has to say. We're going to come back to that. But let me say this as I begin. Citizens are to honor their government. Citizens are to honor their government. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7, Scripture commands this. You say, well, the first thing that comes to people's minds, well, what about if the government is corrupt? Well, that's true, and that can happen. And with human authority, you will always have that element. What do? You do the best you can. When it's utter chaos, at the end of the day, you're to follow God. Ultimately, the Christian, the child of God, that is your final authority, and you follow God. But the principle is there. I don't teach my children to run from police officers. I don't teach my children to disrespect a government official or a law enforcement or anything like that. I understand they're bad ones, but I don't let that set the precedence for the principle of having respect. And if you do, you're wrong, according to Scripture. And you look around, you aid more to the world's culture than you do of a biblical culture. And simply put, in Romans 13 speaks of this. Christian employees are to honor their employers. An employee is somebody who works for somebody else. And if you're a child of God in here, you should have respect for your employer. There's been times when I've had employers, actually a lot of them, that I knew that they weren't saved. I knew they did not know God. Matter of fact, there were a few that were hostile towards having a Christian work for them because of the Christian's mentality of being a hypocrite and wanting to beat somebody over the head with the Bible. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying Christian employees ought to honor their employers. And the Bible speaks of that in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 1, if you want to write that reference down. Let me move on. I got a number of them. Churches are to honor their leaders. There's leaders set up in the church that the Bible speaks of in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. You're to honor those leaders. Secondly, church members are to honor one another. You're to honor one another. And it goes on to say that you're to prefer one another other than yourselves. I'm very cautious when I hear out of somebody's mouth downing another brother or sister. That is not healthy. That is not godly. And it does not teach respect. It does not teach respect to the next generation. And it does not line itself up with the Word of God. But the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 12 in verse 10. Let's go over there. I won't be able to turn to all of them, but I'm giving you these references. We'll pick this one up. I believe it's important. And I want to go to Romans chapter 12. Notice what Scripture says here. And I'll take a drink. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. The Bible says in verse 10, Romans chapter 12, be kindly affectionate one to another. He says with brotherly love in, say it with me, honor preferring one another. You say, well, I don't like that person. I think that person's got issues. I think that person's got a, the Bible doesn't give no leeway there. You're to honor them. I think it says charity covereth a multitude of sin, not weight, but sin. Not everybody, there's nobody perfect. Amen. There isn't anybody perfect. And so you're going to have to work on being willing to honor one another or preferring one another. The Bible teaches and instructs the church to honor their widows. That is another group or class of people in the church where they're to be honored. They're not to be disrespected, but they're to be treated as mothers and they're to be honored. And so you find that in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible instructs the church to honor their widows. It goes on. The Bible teaches. Let's go to 1 Peter. I said I wouldn't turn to all of them, but this one is a good one for the husbands and the wives. I want to go to 1 Peter, and I'm going the wrong way here. 1 Peter chapter 3. Notice what the Bible teaches us about this word honor or respecting. It says here, husbands are to honor their wives. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife, if she's good. No, there's no excuse there. Giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And he says, giving honor unto the wife. We're to husbands, we're to honor our wives, our own wives. Wives, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, wives are to honor their husbands. You say, are you going to turn? Oh, yes, I'm going to turn to this one. Now, Ephesians chapter 5, I'll get myself into trouble, and I won't get any supper. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33, notice what the Bible says there, the last verse, right where our text was at, Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. All right. Husbands and wives are to honor their marital vows. The marital vows are to be honored according to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 4. The Bible instructs. And then lastly, where we're at tonight, children are to honor their parents. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 2, and we read them. And I want to say I've got 2 points, but you notice I've got a lot of subpoints. But I've got actually 3 points tonight. Number one, parents should expect respect. Parents should expect respect. Here in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, it speaks of children to obey, or to obey. The commandment is to obey their parents in the Lord. A lot of times you'll find that little phrase, in the Lord. It tells the wife to love her husband, and it says that you're honoring the Lord. You love the Lord if you do that. So a lot of times it won't really be maybe your natural feeling or your affection maybe towards your husband. You should have some, by the way, but I'm a husband. I know sometimes you don't say everything right, and husbands can really rub the wife wrong sometimes, you know, just saying the wrong thing, doing the wrong thing, or not doing the wrong. Amen? Can I get some amens from the ladies? Well, here's the thing. The honoring and the reverence come because your relationship with God first. You should love God first, then your husband. Amen? And if you don't have that, then you're going to have some issues with respect and honoring, and especially your role as a woman and a mother or a wife. And here, back to the child or the parent, it says this: children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Obedience refers to listening to instruction and heeding it. It is conforming to what has been required. That's obedience. Honor is valuing or reverencing someone, so our children are not to just do what we say. Listen to me carefully, children. It's not just that you should do what your parents tell you to do, but also to value the relationship, to give respect to. In the class that I teach in the back with the young men, those young men will begin or should begin to develop more respect, number one, for God and the Word of God. Number two, their parents. That's where they're at in their life, and their parents are that important to them, and they should respect their parents. You say, well, my parent is not that good, or, well, I don't have the parents that I think I should have. Oh, I didn't either at 13. None of us did. Ask any one of us. You say, well, I had issues. Listen, your parents is a gift from God to you, and you should have respect. I'm saying the parents should expect respect. And so we're seeing the difference between obedience and honor dealing with this. Not only to obey, but also to value the relationship, to give respect to it. You know, a lot of times, when you talk to parents that have struggling children or wayward children, you will find that what wasn't developed or what was lacking in that relationship was it was never really taught true respect. It was more taught with what we looked at last week, maybe the shell of outward obedience, conformity, rather than a relationship. And so respect is taught the same way. You can demand respect. Especially if you weigh 100 pounds more than the next person and you're stronger than them. But that's not the right kind of respect. That's not what we're talking about tonight. That runs along the lines of abuse. And yeah, you think you have respect, but you won't have respect. The Bible goes on to say that the father is not to provoke the children in verse 4 to wrath. Also, it tells them that they shouldn't discourage the child. And that's generally what ends up happening. Why do you think there's more adults out there that don't like authority? They'll have something more negative to say about a human authority than they will something positive. That gives me my evidence that authority and respect was not taught properly in the home. So here, let's get back now. I know I touched a nerve there, but we're going to break this down. Parents should expect respect, number one, by teaching it. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 4. And I know the home needs to be taught on. A lot of times we think we have solid homes. You'll be shocked at how weak and how frail the home really actually is. That's why the church is frail and weak, and it struggles to grow spiritually. It has to start in the individual heart of the person. And that generally starts with the head of the home, the father, then the mother, then the children. Proverbs chapter 4, notice with me in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law, for I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Now verse 4, he taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Listen, this thing about respect, it should be expected, but it has to be taught. This must be taught, and so it must be presented in a teaching environment. Not only by teaching it, but you're going to have to live it. The parent isn't going to get very far if it's going to teach respect, but turns around in the front of the child and disrespects the wife or disrespects the husband or disrespects the employer that you work for or disrespects the employees that work underneath you or disrespects somebody else that you might be involved with. Maybe the church, maybe the pastor, maybe the deacon or a brother or sister. Be careful now. Watch what's going on. Or another family member. You want to be careful because you're teaching it to disrespect by your actions. And a child will always do what you do. Rarely do they do what you say. Those that have children understand that. And so it's going to come from your actions. It is taught louder. It is taught clearer. It is taught strong with more strength if you do it by action. But it's going to take both. Secondly, I want to say this about respect. Parents should reward respect. There's a verse in 3 John, I believe verse 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. It gives joy to the Heavenly Father when you and I walk in truth. And I believe here it goes along with my point. Parents should reward respect. We're in Proverbs. I know we just looked at, I just quoted 3 John 4, but I want to do Proverbs 12. If we're in Proverbs, turn over to the right to Proverbs chapter 12. Notice with me verse 25. There are some principles in regards to showing a reward for respect. I like it when children or a child shows respect for their peers or for adults. And here we see in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 25. Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. It's not a bad thing to give your child a compliment when they're doing right, or when they're obedient, but especially when they're honoring or have respect in the right manner. Parents should reward respect. The Bible speaks of this. Let's move from chapter 12 to chapter 25. Look at chapter 25 in Proverbs and notice with me verse 11. Speaking of a word that is fitly framed or put together in the right way at the right time. We're saying, secondly, parents should reward respect. Proverbs chapter 25, notice with me verse 11. Scripture says a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pitchers of silver. A lot of times that child would look for maybe words of affirmation or words that might bring that affirmation of love. Are you watching them? Same with your Heavenly Father. When you call on Him, when you're in obedience to God and your relationship with God is healthy, you want to hear from God. God definitely wants to hear from you. It's the same relationship moved into the physical sense with the parents or the parents of the child. And so it says here in verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. We're saying that, look, the Bible speaks of this and understanding we're coming up on this graduation. There'll be students that will be honored and maybe given awards or given a certificate of achievement for things that they have accomplished. It's important that you honor that. It's important that you show that respect, especially when it comes to the things of God and the Word of God. It's important. Parents should reward respect. There's a third one here. We got plenty of times. Thirdly, parents should show respect. Not only expect it, not only reward it, but they should show respect in what they have. Parents, you should model respect for your children. Again, I've said this before. It astounds me that you'll have a parent so concerned about a child and seems like they're wholeheartedly concerned that the child, pray for this child, and then turn around and you see them how they interact with somebody else or another child or what they have to say about this person over there. And you're like, man, if that went on in the home, if the child saw that in you, they don't want nothing to do with that type of parenting. Matter of fact, they'll be turned off to it. And so we need to understand, we're to model this before our children, the respect that your child wants. You're going to have to live it. You're going to have to model it. They'll see the respect isn't just a childhood requirement. Listen to me. It is a life virtue that goes on through your life. You're not done with respect when you become a parent or when you become of age. It continues on into your adulthood. It's important. I remember being told this, look, it's better if you learn how to be a better listener than a talker. Learn to listen before you learn to talk. Learn to pray. I've learned this here under Pastor Tom. Learn to pray for somebody rather than talk about somebody. Pray for them. So I don't like that person. I pray for a lot of people. Nah, I'm kidding. There's only a few that I know of that I pray for, and I certainly do. I pray that God put His hand of mercy on them and bless them and watch out for them, a whole number of things. But you pray for them. Don't talk about them. Pray for them. That was a good lesson learned, taught and learned by a leader in a church. So we go on. Parents should show respect. I want to say, number one, they should in these areas. I'm going to bring up some more areas here to the authority of Scripture. You say, why is it so important, this authority of Scripture? Listen, you're going to find something out as a child of God and a Christian. If you're going to lay claim to being a Christian and being saved, and lay claim to that, you're going to need an authority other than yourself. You're going to need an authority other than your emotions or what you experienced. Because everybody has emotions and everybody has experiences. One's no different from another, but there needs to be an independent source of authority. I'm going to tell you the one that I've chosen is this one. It's God's Word. God's given us this authority. We need this authority, not to hammer somebody down with it. You can always be mean. Why don't you learn to read it? Learn to love it. Learn to defend it and learn and to allow it to feed you, because you're going to need it, and it needs to be taught to your children and your grandchildren. The authority, to have respect for the authority of Scripture. Take your Bible. We do have the time for this, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 17. Deuteronomy chapter 17, I want to use this illustration here. It deals with what was given to a king, a godly king, and what the Bible said that he should do. Deuteronomy chapter 17, and I'm going to look at verses 18, or start there. This is something that the man of God is laying out, talking about a king. In verse 17, we'll pick it up. We're kind of getting in the middle of this. But notice, I'm dealing with the authority of Scripture and how it played an important role, especially in the early days. Now notice verse 17, neither shall he multiply, speaking of the king, what he should or shouldn't do. Neither should he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn not away, neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. First thing somebody wants to bring up in the Old Testament, what about Solomon? Solomon was instructed this very thing. It didn't say that he obeyed it. You know, there are things in this Bible that are not true. I've said this before and I catch this look like, what are you talking about? When Satan speaks in the garden, says, ye shall not surely die, that was not true. They were going to die. But God recorded it just as it was said. And so he captures this just because God says it. Meanwhile, then they got to live by it. Are you living by everything the Bible tells us to do? No. So Solomon didn't either. I'm not justifying. I'm just saying man has to tend to have his own ways in his hands than allowing to put his life in God's hands. And he's saying here about this king, neither shall he multiply wives to himself. You're getting the mind of God, and you're seeing that man disobeyed God. Man still disobeys God. He says that his heart turn not away. That's the reason why it's wrong. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. He did that as well. And that was downfall. It was a downfall to him. By the way, his wives, I'm back on Solomon now. Solomon's wives turned his heart away from God and turned it to idols in his latter days. And so here he moved from God. Now watch what this, we're talking about the respect or honor that should be given to the Scriptures. This is going to be the reason why. If authority is not going to be, if the Scripture is not going to be your authority, you'll have work as your authority. You'll have a relationship as your authority. You'll have your emotions as authority. You'll have society as your authority. You'll have philosophy. You'll have your education. You'll have a number of things that you'll set up as your authority rather than the words of God. Because if God and the word of God is not going to be your authority, there will be something else there. Satan will make sure of it. And so he's saying not to do this. Look at verse 18. And it shall be when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them, that his heart be not lifted up above his brethren. You can tell when somebody's reading the word or loving God's word, they don't have a higher value of themselves other than anybody else. All right. They prefer one another. And that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom and he and his children in the midst of Israel. And so we grab this principle, this application that the Scriptures, there needs to be a respect for the authority of Scripture. And authority, any authority we have in the home, in the church, comes from God. Any authority that you have or that I have, it comes from God. That's where it comes from. Even the dignitaries and the governors and all those that are in position in the world, it comes from God. Say, wow, I didn't think God has, he is in control, I'm telling you. And here it's just a simple principle that we've lost, we've let it go. We've let it go in our homes. And it's not the children's fault. It's not the children's fault. So we see the authority of Scripture. You know, Paul tells this and commends us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So well, I don't want my child to follow me. What a sick, diabolical, unbiblical thought. You should be following Christ. If you're a child of God, and if you're not, get your heart right. Your heart needs to be gotten right. Well, my children won't follow God. You need to be following God. Amen. Well, there's something else here other than Scripture to your spouse. We read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, but here's the thing. In a home, if you do not have respect or honor, show honor to your spouse, husband or wife, the child or the children are going to pick up on that. They're going to pick up on that. Satan definitely will. And it needs to be shown. It needs to be shown in the home. Respect for your spouse. Not only your spouse, but we mentioned in society. Too many times. Take your Bible and turn to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Here's one verse for the society. When I say this, I'm not saying society is great. I'm not saying society is something that you need to put your stock into. I am saying that the Bible's not silent on this in your relationship with it. And from the perspective of a Christian, here it is in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Now watch verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's been times in my life where there has been somebody that I might not have a lot of respect for, but they held a position. There's been times when I've been pulled over in a traffic stop, and generally the law officers are very nice. Kind. They do their job. Don't have to be my best buddies. But there's been times when they have not been kind, been rude. Because they've been rude doesn't give me the excuse to treat them any different than I would any other time, a nice one or a bad one. But because of the position that that individual was in, I respected the position. The person might have been having a bad day. You ever have a bad day? You have to do your job. You're not quite the friendliest person to be around. I have. And you know you have too. And that officer, imagine stopping scumbags all day long or putting up with, yeah, he might not have the greatest attitude. So I read into that. He may be having a bad day, but I still respect that position that he holds, that position of authority. You might be for a magistrate or a judge and not like maybe the verdict or how he's conducting it. But you still should respect that position. Amen. Amen. If you've been teaching something otherwise in your home or have taught it, it's wrong. It's anti-biblical. He says in verse 2, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and in the sight of who? If you're a Christian, if he is your Savior, I believe he is tonight. So in society, to your spouse, to the authority of Scripture. Now let's get to the church. Look at Romans. In the church, you need to have respect in the church. This is important. I'm careful with it. I try to maintain it in front of everybody, even if I was just by myself. But there should be a decorum of respect for one another. And Romans chapter 12. Look at Romans chapter 12. You say, well, it might be back to that person. I don't like that individual's personality, but they still hold a position. You still need to respect that position. The Bible commands the Christian. You still should respect that individual, by the way. Now watch. Romans chapter 12 and verse 10, be kindly affectionate, Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. We read this before, in honor, preferring one another. This is where you're at in a church setting. They were having emulation. They were having strife, especially in 1 Corinthians in that church. And they were preferring another sect over another. And the Bible is not doesn't teach that, but you should have respect one for another in the church. You say, well, that isn't taught. It should be taught. And let me say something right here with parents. Don't get bent if you have a teacher teaching your child respect. It needs to be taught. It needs to be taught. And they will continue to teach it. And I definitely will back it up. And so in the church, there needs to be respect. When you don't know what to do, err on the side of right rather than err on the side of rebellion. Because you know God is never for rebellion. Well, I don't know if it's right or wrong. Then don't do it. Amen. That's the law. That's the rule. And if somebody has some thought on it, well, I don't think you maybe should do it because of this. Don't run it down. Listen to it. Take it in. Be a listener, not a talker. And so you'll learn something in society, in church, and to yourself. You say, well, this is not taught in the church that I come from. It wasn't taught. It's hard to teach sometimes because Christians think they're doing everything right when a lot of times we're not. We're not. We're not the light that we should be. We're not the parent that we should be. It's because we've let little things go, like just simple things like respect and honor. We got another one. Let me get on children and we'll end this thing up. To your children. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Now, this is worded. I've used this before, but look at 1 Thessalonians and how Paul uses this, how he interacted with the young Christians in the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. Let me say this. You'll have young Christians. They might not say the right thing. They might not be dressed, the way that you think they should be. They might not show up to the things that you think they should show up. But they're young Christians, and they still need to be treated with respect. Notice what he says here, and he uses this thought. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look at verse 7. Paul's saying here about how their approach was to these young Christians at this church. And he says here in verse 7, but we were, say it with me, gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. How many of you mothers would care much for a nurse that was taking care of your child and they were rough and abusive? You wouldn't let that go on 5 minutes. So the thought that Paul's trying to get across to people in the church, you're not everybody's at the same level. I think the Bible even says comfort the feeble-minded. And he says to take care of those that are without and within. And he says here, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. Here in our children here, you need to be careful and cautious and to treat them and to nurture them in the way that the Bible tells us. A lot of times it's so much simpler than being gruff or being rude or being crude. And you think, well, that's okay. That got that done. That's what they needed to hear. Now, you got your way. That's what happened. And the child's left off trying to figure out what was the signal. What are you trying to say here? And you don't instruct correctly. Tonight, I'm saying a godly home will have respect. Respect will be taught. And it's important that not only is it taught in the home to individuals in between, but it's taught through a society. It's taught through our church to have respect. Most importantly, respect for God. That's the most important one. Heavenly Father, we bow tonight and we thank you for your love and your mercy.